Well, good morning again, everyone. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for another opportunity to open your word. We thank you for all the blessings that we have received thus far in the course of our conference, and we ask for further help and blessing for hearer and speaker alike. Pray that what we brought before us this morning would challenge our hearts. We do ask again, our God and Father, that the things that we will consider over the course of our conference will remain with us and will help us to serve you, to serve the Lord Jesus in this wilderness scene. So we commit our time to you, ask again for help and blessing. Amen. Now, for those of you who have read the syllabus and have seen that today's subject for the keynote is the calling of Moses. So we're first going to read a few passages starting in the book of Acts. Because in Stephen's address, we have a very nice summary of some of the life of Moses. So we'll go to Acts chapter 7 and read a couple of verses there. And then move to the book of Exodus. I trust we're all familiar with the story of Moses, so I'll just read a few verses here and there to save us some time, because the timer here doesn't stop, unless the time is over. So Acts chapter 7, I'll start reading from verse 20. In which time Moses was born, and he was exceedingly lovely, who was nourished 3 months in the house of his father. And when he was cast out, the daughter of Pharaoh took him up and brought him up for herself to be for a son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. And when a period of 40 years was fulfilled to him, it came into his heart to look upon his brethren, the sons of Israel. And seeing a certain one wronged, he defended him and avenged him that he was being oppressed, smiting the Egyptian. For he thought that his brethren would understand that God by his hand was giving them deliverance. But they understood not. Now, obviously, we'll come back to this. We'll first read a few verses also in the book of Exodus, chapter 2 and 3. Where we start reading in chapter 2 continues really on what we read in Acts chapter 7. So Moses is on the run. And then we read in verse 15, Exodus chapter 2, verse 15, the middle of the verse. Moses fled from before Pharaoh and dwelled in the land of Midian, and he sat by the well. And the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses rose and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "Why are you come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water abundantly for us and watered the flock." Chapter 3. Moses tended the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock behind the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And the angel of Jehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the thorn bush. And he looked, and behold, the thorn bush burned with fire, and the thorn bush was not being consumed. And Moses said, "Let me now turn aside and see this great sight, why the thorn bush is not burned." And Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see, and God called to him out of the midst of the thorn bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, loose thy sandals from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Verse 8, I am come down, God says, to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good and spacious land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 10, and now come, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. If there is time at the end, we might read some other verses. But first, let's go back to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the verses that we have read, show us the first 40 years of Moses' life, where he was brought up as a prince in Egypt, where he was trained in the ways of Egypt. And I think it was said yesterday already that Egypt is a picture of the world. Now, all of us here have been trained in the school of the world, one way or another. We've all been exposed to the influence of the world because we live in this world. But we will see that Moses had to distance himself from that and turn to something better. And that's really the subject I want to look at today. But first we need to look at what Moses was. It struck me when I read through the verses in Acts that we read of Pharaoh's daughter that she took Moses and brought him up a son for herself. She was self-centered. And that's what the world is. The world is only concerned about oneself. And we see that this had an effect on Moses. I will come to that in a moment. Moses was trained in the ways of Egypt. Some historians would tell us that he probably was a general in the Egyptian army. It's not in the Word of God. But we see here that Stephen says he was mighty in his words and his deeds. He was most probably geared to become a prominent person at Pharaoh's court. Maybe even become Pharaoh himself. At least that's what the Egyptians would have thought. This is what Moses was in the training of the world. He had also had training in the house of his parents. I don't want to dwell on that too much, but we know that from both Exodus 2 and Hebrews 11. And this had an effect also. But we will see that Moses was mixing these two things up. He was mixing up his, we would say, religious education and his worldly education, and wanted to use his worldly skills to bring about religious results. I'm not saying that Moses wasn't a believer. I'm just trying to explain that Moses used the wrong methods for the right reason. Because that's what we have read when he saw one of Israel being wronged. And I think it says in Exodus that he looked this way and that way, then he killed the man. You know, he did this not by accident. He deliberately, using the skills he was trained in Egypt, he killed the man. Because he thought, you know, his stepmother brought him up for herself. And then he thought, Moses thought, I can do this. I can do this with the skills that have been taught to me. He thought that the Israelites would understand that God would use him to deliver Israel. But you know what? God had a different timeline. Brother Mark stressed a few times at EBC that God's timing is not our timing. When God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15, I think it is, he gave a very specific timeline for when Israel would be delivered out of Egypt.
But Moses
did forget, I don't know, did not remember, did not want to think about it. He thought, now is the time to do something. But it wasn't God's timing. He was 40 years too early. And I think this has to do with the fact that he hadn't had that encounter with the holy and a righteous God. It's often been said that in the first 40 years of Moses' life, he learned to be something. Then in the next 40 years, we're going to look at now, he learned that he is nothing. And then in the last 40 years, he learned that God is everything. And this is what Moses had to learn. And this is what every one of us, all of us, including me, we have to learn that in our own strength, even with all the abilities, all the talents that we've been given, we cannot do anything for God, we cannot do anything for the Lord Jesus if it is not with him. So Moses has to leave Egypt, but he then goes through a training process. You know, I've read these chapters in Exodus so many times. And it is only when, after Brother Tim asked me to take up this passage, and I read these chapters, I don't know, many times, that it struck me that when Moses leaves Egypt, it says in verse 15, he dwelled in the land of Midian. That's first. Moses is saying to us, because obviously Moses wrote the book of Exodus, I first dwelled there. But you know what? Then he sits by a well and he is referred to as an Egyptian. Although he had left Egypt, had chosen a different country to dwell in, he still looked like an Egyptian. Might have been his dress. Might even be the Egyptian makeup. I don't know. But the daughters of the priest of Midian, they saw Moses and there was no doubt he's an Egyptian. I want to put a challenge before us. If the people in this world look at us, what do they see? And I'm not saying that we should all wearing suits and, you know, the sisters' long dresses and all that, that it is not just about the outward appearance. But when they look at us, what do they see? With Moses, they didn't see a Hebrew man, which he really was, but they saw an Egyptian. They saw a worldling. I think it is in Acts chapter 5 that it is said of some of the disciples, they saw that they had been with Jesus. They recognized that these disciples had been with Jesus. And this is the lesson that Moses had to learn. God is putting Moses through training. He becomes a shepherd. Now, if you would go to Genesis chapter 46, verse 32, you will find that anyone who is looking after livestock, after cattle, is an abomination to the Egyptians. Moses was brought up and was taught that anyone who is a shepherd is an abomination. And God says, this is the work you got to do. This is the work that you have to do. Moses had to be brought down from his throne of mighty works and deeds, had to be made humble in order to be made suitable for service. And again, this is something that we need to learn. Sometimes we need to unlearn things. And I think this is what Moses had to do as well. He had to unlearn the things of the world. If we had read on in chapter 3, we would have seen that Moses would say, I'm not a speaker. Well, Stephen just said to us, he was mighty in his words. He had to unlearn being confident in his own ability. But you know what was key in all this? Is the passage that we read in Exodus chapter 3. An encounter with God. And this is key to any service we do. If we do this without being in the presence of a holy God, God cannot bless. I'm not saying that God will not bless, because God can still use what is done for him. But God wants to bless abundantly. And the only way that He will bless our service abundantly is when we spend time with Him. It's the principle we find throughout the Word of God. In the next book, in Leviticus, God says to the people of Israel, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Peter repeats that, I think, in 1 Peter 1:16. And in the second chapter, we see the principle that we will follow here. I don't want to take away from Brother Hilford's subject on Peter, the last day of our conference. But we see there in chapter 2, there first is the priest going into the presence of God, spending time with God, with the Lord Jesus, and then it is the priest going out into the world, announcing the virtues of God to the people around us. And that is exactly what we're going to look at here. Moses needs to have this encounter with the Holy God. He has been brought low. He has been made humble in those second 40 years of training. Yeah, how good it would be that we don't need 80 years of training. Moses needed 80 years. You know, he would fall in Brother Hans's category, the 11th hour. There's not much time left, humanly speaking, but Moses still had another 40 years to come. So maybe he was, you know, was one of the earlier categories. But I just want to stress the point that sometimes our learning process is slow because we do not listen. We do not pay enough attention. But here we find that the Lord Jesus reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush. Moses sees that bush. I don't want to speak about the prophetic meaning of the bush and all that. I just want to draw the attention to the Lord Jesus making the effort to bringing Moses where he wants him to be. Moses sees the bush and thinks by himself, "Well, this is interesting. This is something that I've never seen before. No one of us has seen a bush burning and then not being consumed by the fire." God draws the attention to himself here. The angel of the Lord, as mentioned here, is often said is the Lord Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. And the Lord Jesus, in a way, manifests himself to Moses as he would do so many times after. We'll look at that later on. But when Moses comes near, he has to realize that he is dealing with a holy God. Now, Tim started on Saturday night explaining that holiness is otherness. We have seen that Moses was brought to nothingness. That's not holiness, because we're going to say that God is nothing. He is everything. But what we do know is that holiness has to do with the absence of sin. Moses had to, in these second 40 years of training, had to get rid of the influence of the world. And I think that is really the lesson that we have to learn. There is so much is coming to us in this world, on social media, in the newspapers, on television, on the internet, and it defiles us. And when we are defiled by the things of this world, and I'm not going to list what it all could be, you know for yourself the things that trouble you, that might defile you, that Satan would use to distract you from the presence of the Lord. And we need to get rid of that. Yesterday we heard from Brother Larry how man is described from the feet to the crown of the head. And here we see that the Lord Jesus says to Moses, "Take off your sandals. You cannot approach me as you are. You need to realize that I am a holy God." Moses had to approach with unshod feet. I know, we'll come to that in a moment, I know that we have access. We have access with boldness. We do not have to be afraid. Later on we find that Israel is afraid and says to Moses, you go talk to God. We don't want to. We don't dare to. We don't durst to. We are afraid of God. We do not have to be afraid of God. We'll see that when we get to chapter 33. But that doesn't mean that God is not holy. God is holy, and that means that we have to behave ourselves in a holy manner. Be ye holy, God says, for I am holy. If you'd be invited, I was going to say being invited to the queen, but obviously you don't have a queen here. You have a president, except for the Canadians. We share a queen. If you're invited to the White House, there will be certain deportment, certain behavior expected. And especially, I'll use the queen as an example. If you're invited to the queen, you'll get exact descriptions of how to dress, what to wear, when to bow, when to stand, and all the other things. Certain deportment is required, and certain deportment, certain behavior, holy behavior, fitting to God is necessary for us in order to approach God. If I'm living in sin, I shouldn't be surprised that my prayers are not answered. If I'm living in sin, I shouldn't be surprised that my service is unprofitable, because we do not act as we should. We do not act as God would request in holiness, with unshod feet. God called Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Moses first had to learn that lesson himself. He first had to learn for 40 years what it is to come out of Egypt. And if we look at the wilderness journey, we see that Israel had great difficulty forgetting Egypt. They wanted the meat. They wanted the cucumbers. They wanted the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And if you look at the things that they want, many of them give no nutrition, but they do give smell, stench. This is what the world offers. And yet, we all have the inclination to want that. Moses here has that encounter with the holy God to learn that this is the only way. The only way to serve him is, using the context here, is with unshod feet, realizing that we are serving a holy God. I am. We've looked at a few I ams at EBC. Moses first asked the question, who am I? And God says, it's not about who you are, it's about who I am. It's not about what you can do, it's about what I ask you to do. It's not about my ability. If I will use my ability, I will act 40 years before my time, and I'll start killing people. Because that's what Moses did. It'll harm others. That's the warning we have in the life of Moses. That's what happened when Moses acted in his own strength. That is when Moses acted in the wisdom of Egypt. I have 10 minutes left, so there's time to look at how this, what we've just very briefly looked at. I know I have skipped many things, but then that happens when you only get 35 minutes for 3 chapters. So let's go to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, we find that Israel has just made one of those Egypt mistakes. Did we want a visible God? You know, the Egyptians had visible gods. We want that. We want something like the Egyptians had. And that's what they did. And Aaron later says to Moses, you know, I chucked the gold into the fire and the calf came out. Really? How did that work? You know, that was just an excuse. Aaron and all Israel longed back to Egypt. And they made a mistake. Moses has to deal with that. Moses takes a tent, separates himself from the camp, goes outside the camp. That's what we read in chapter 33, verse 7. Moses took the tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tent of meeting. In the camp, things were not right. I'm not going to apply this to assembly principles. I just want to apply this to our personal lives, because that is what we will see in the rest of this chapter. This is a personal exercise. Where do you stand in relation to the world? Moses says, I'm going far away from this because I need to spend time in the presence of God. In Exodus chapter 3, he was afraid. But when we look at Moses throughout the wilderness journey, and he hid his face, it says in Exodus 3. But when we look at Moses during the wilderness journey, we find that he is no longer afraid to meet God. He can meet God with an unveiled face. 2 Corinthians 3. We can do the same thing. I think it's verse 18. And it had an effect on Moses to speak with God with unveiled face. The glory of God shone from Moses' face, so much so that he had to cover his face when he came back into camp. But when we read through in Exodus chapter 33, and again, this is something I hadn't really realized before, so it's good to you to read through your Bibles, as we heard this morning. Just read through without stopping and studying, just reading through the chapters. We see that when Moses goes to the tent of meeting, everyone else is looking. Yeah, they're looking at Moses. It's verse 8. When Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose up and stood every man at the entrance of his tent, and they looked after Moses until he entered into the tent. And it came to pass when Moses entered into the tent, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the entrance of the tent, and Jehovah talked with Moses. You see, this is what he wants. This is what the Lord wants. He wants to speak to us. The tent was made for everyone. We read in verse 7, it came to pass that everyone who saw Jehovah went out to the tent of meeting. How many actually went? If you read on, we find that only two people were found in the tent in this passage. Moses and Joshua. All the others were looking on in awe. They worshipped. But they stood at their tent. You know, I've often looked up to brothers. Man, if only I had the faith they had. Then that's available. But I kept remaining at my tent instead of spending time in the presence of the Lord, spending time being occupied with His holiness, and then being transformed into that same image. I lived my own life, and then nothing changes in my life. This is Moses' first 40 years. All the people of Israel, they stood at the entrance of the tent. Oh, they worshipped. You know, there was some religious experience. I think it's in the book of Amos, where it becomes clear that there was no reality with many of the people of Israel in the wilderness. And I'm not saying that, you know, if I'm living for the world, that I'm not a real believer. But I have wasted years doing exactly that. I've been standing at my tent, my own tent, for many years. Whereas Moses, he spent time in the presence of a holy God. And it says Jehovah talked with him.
Jehovah revealed things to him. And when you read through the book of Exodus, you will find that expression time and again. The Lord spoke to Moses on the mountain. And then when we get to Leviticus, we see that God spoke to Moses from the house of God. And here we find that God speaks to Moses in the tent of meeting. And brothers and sisters, we need this. We need our tent of meeting. We need that place alone with God. It says here, far away from the camp. You know, we all have our smartphones, almost everyone. I know at least one brother here who doesn't. But most of us have their smartphones. And they're a distraction. If you want to do your quiet time, use a Bible. Don't use your phone. Because what will happen, you start reading after you have prayed, and then, you know, you're 1 minute in. So you're not halfway through your first chapter of the 40. You're 1 minute in, and there's this Instagram message, or WhatsApp, or Snapchat, whatever it is, and you're distracted. Outside of the camp. And I'm not saying that we should live in a monastery. We find that nowhere in the Word of God. But we need this time where we have no distractions. That is why Moses went outside the camp, to spend time alone with God. This is what characterized Moses' last 40 years. You know, when Moses was 40 years old, he killed a man in anger. When Moses is at the end of his life, it can be testified of him that he was the meekest man on earth. How was that possible? How is it possible that a man who was a violent man became the meekest man on earth? There's only one explanation. Spending time in the presence of a holy God. Becoming more like a holy God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, and maybe you think, well, Paul, that's nice, but that's for older people. Just go with me to the last verse in this passage, verse 11. But, in the middle of the verse, but Moses' attendant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not from within the tent. Joshua had seen, you know, something with Moses. And Joshua made that decision. That's what I want. You know, we've made reference to Brother Eugene a few times. I've only met him, I think, 3 times. But many have said when he went to be with the Lord, that was the true man of God. And there's no doubt in my mind that that is true. But you know what? We are called to be like that. And the only way that we will become like that is spending time in this tent. He departed not from within the tent. Joshua, a young man. How much time? I'll address the younger people. How much time do you spend in the presence of the Lord Jesus? How much time do you spend, to go back to Exodus 3, at the burning bush? How much time do you spend on the mountaintop? How much time do you spend in the burning bush? This is of vital importance to our spiritual lives. And when you're young, it is easier to remember things. It is easier to learn things. You need to make time for this. It is of vital importance. Joshua had learned this. Joshua had seen something with Moses. And Joshua made up his mind and said, that's what I want. And when you look up to older brothers or sisters and see them living godly lives, that should stir up that same desire within us. That's what I want. Joshua made up his mind. And he said, that tent, that's the best place to be. He spent time in the presence of God. And you know what? because of that, God could use him. And at the end of Joshua's life, or at the end of the book of Joshua, he says, "You ask for me personally and my house." He had set a good example. "We will serve the Lord." That's the choice that Joshua made. Why? Because he had spent time in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. He had seen it with Moses. He had experienced it himself, and it affected him and his ministry. Oh, may it be so that we follow the example of Moses in spending time with God, meeting a holy God, and becoming holy because he is holy. Amen.